What should the new sign on be?
What? Did we have an old sign on?
Well, it used to be, my name is Justin McElroy and I know the best game of the week.
Yeah, that's true.
How about, my name is Justin McElroy
and I'm the best.
Let's dip our dicks in it.
My name is Justin McElroy.
Let's dip our dicks in it.
Let's f*** some games.
We could sing the theme song to Pinwheel. You remember that show?
Pinwheel, spinning around. Look at my finger and see what I found.
Bad. Here we go. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm the best.
I'm not sure. It feels a little self-aggrandizing. My name is Griffin McElroy, and I'm doing all right.
My name is Chris Plant, and I'm doing pretty well, too.
My name is Russ Brushing, and I'm the best thing to be.
Okay. You lack some of the rhythm.
That was my favorite Bob Dylan song, is that thing that Russ Brushing just
best
did.
Game of the week. This is the besties, as you've almost certainly gathered. We're back for another challenging season of podcast entertainment. We have again revamped our format, and now it's all in Hebrew.
We gotta go left to right now.
Gonna go left to right.
Well, you're listening to
the end of the podcast. This is how the podcast ends.
Oh wait, words go left to right normally.
Yes.
Yeah. So right to left is probably what we're looking
for. I've been reading wrong all these fucking years, man.
So
New Year, New Us, No Rules, Just Right. Is swearing still okay?
Yes.
Swearing's back for another big season here at the Besties, where I don't even know if we're going to pick a best game.
We're not. Here's what we're doing. We're tossing out the baby and the bathwater.
Yeah.
And the tub in which both were housed.
But the baby's okay. He's hanging on the tree. Right
the
now.
Baby's fine. The baby's going to hang on that tree for about a year, and it's going to create tension. And that tension is what's going to keep y'all coming back.
There's only one competitive element to this show now, and we will address it soon. But first, I want to say the best thing I played this week was Kentucky Route Zero.
I don't know. That doesn't sound like a real game.
Does it sound like an indie record to you?
It does kind of sound like an indie record.
Like Fleet Foxes.
Or a Bilko.
Oh, my God. Kentucky Route Zero is an independently developed...
Mm-hmm. Knew that.
...adventure game with a... that feels like, both in aesthetics and I would say values, like a spiritual successor to some of LucasArts' headier efforts. Think like The Dig, for example, Loom, Grim Fandango.
Separates those? What in particular makes those their headiest, dankest nugs?
They're not goofs.
It's
not about a crazy tentacle. It's not licensed weirdness. It's like a little more mature take on adventure gaming. And honestly, Plant, I know you played it and. Feel free to jump in with me at any point here, but I was agog, I think. I had not heard of this game at all before you pitched it to me. I played the first episode and literally could not conceive of the fact that this is a game that I, A, have never heard of before, B, was coming out in January. It's stunning.
I thought it's out already. It's out now, right?
Yeah, it's out now. It's a ghost story. I think that's the best way to describe it. It borrows some of the stuff from adventure games from back in the day, but I think what it feels most like is just the type of story you'd be told over a campfire. And it doesn't have a lot of gameplay, which I like. I think that's kind of something adventure games have learned. Walking Dead is a good example. Mm-hmm. That you don't go to an adventure game for the game. You go for the story and the experience and it kind of washing over you. And that is a lot of what happens in this. You just kind of go from place to place, kind of discovering what's there. And you, I mean, you could probably speak to that with how driving works in the game, because I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, that's the, so you do go from location to location, looking for this Route Zero. You're a delivery driver who has to take a package to this address, that the only way you know to get there is to follow this Kentucky Route Zero. So people give you directions, and you will actually zoom out to a map, and you don't see where the locale is that you're supposed to be headed on your map. It, you actually have to physically follow directions. So as they'll say, you know, take a left at the flaming tree that's always burning, and then take a right on Peach Street or what have you.
And this is all happening in real time? The like driving mechanics, or are you just clicking?
Well, the cool thing about the driving is it looks somewhere between a really, really simple map. And do you remember the old DOS games, like the green screen games, where it was just like green lines that kind of glowed against a black background?
I remember Uniracers like that.
Sure, anything super simple, and that's what this map looks like. It's just like a glowing white lines against black background that looks as primitive as you can possibly get. But what's so great about this game is it takes these really, really purposely primitive visuals from, you know, the most ancient computer, but matches it with unbelievably modern sound design. So you're looking at something that seems, you know, difficult to kind of translate in your head, but what you're hearing is like sounds from a church that you're approaching, you know, choir singing coming through the windows, like the crickets outside, and it all sounds with a good pair of headphones like you're there. And it's really strange and disorienting.
That's funny, because I'm actually working on an Unreal Engine 4 game that sounds like an old ColecoVision game. It's about, there's like space marines, and they like shoot at each other, but the guns are like, beep, 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 beep. And then they say like, oh, good job. That was them saying good job to each other.
Yeah, so you actually don't get the dialogue delivered over speakers. It comes off of a binary printer.
Uh-huh. Your Xbox just shakes with the frequency to produce the sound.
It's all, the whole thing is so deliberate, is the best way I can describe it. And somebody told me that like they played it and they feel like they didn't get it. And I feel like it's a really good example of where I think I mean, there is definitely a linear narrative going on here, but I think it's much more about sense of place and a sense of sort of haunted isolation and the sense of, you know, exploring this place where you're not really welcome. And it gives you those feelings through the design, through the sound design, like Chris mentioned, through some of the music cues, which are, there's some electronic music that underscores most of it, and then there's actually some old hymnals and bluegrass old hymns and bluegrass standards that sort of underscore certain moments of the game. And I don't want to say anything too specific about those.
Is the dreidel song in it?
No.
Sorry?
Is the dreidel song in it?
There's no dreidel. No, there's no dreidel. It takes place in the South.
Christian
hymns. I don't think that counts as... Is that a hymn, technically?
That's our only hymn. We have no other hymns. It's just the dreidel song.
It's not particularly holy. It's like...
I made that shit out of clay, dude. You think that's easy?
That is.
Tiny golem.
Now that we've enticed you, though, to give just maybe a bit more of a clear picture, because
I don't really get what the game is.
You might still not fully understand what it looks like. The art design looks like... Have you ever seen Iron Giant?
Yes.
You're going to have to go with me on this one. Iron Giant's art direction, so kind of like the designs that were done to inspire that, and in some ways that art itself in the game is a lot of what it looks like. It's this very sleek kind of 60s art-directed style. It's a 2D game, and you're pointing and clicking wherever you want to go when you are in an actual setting. So, you know, the opening stage is a gas station, and you go into the gas station and go into the basement. So you're pointing and clicking. But visually, what's so striking about the game is it uses kind of your perception of space to kind of trick what you're actually seeing. So areas that are dark will become light, and the other areas that are light will become dark, kind of fading away. So, you know, when you enter the basement, everything kind of fades into darkness. Or there is one scene where you climb a hill, and the hill is very far away, and you start out very close to the character, where you're now, he's the only thing on the screen, and as you're climbing, the camera pulls back, and you know, you get smaller on this hill, but since the camera is pulling back, you're also seeing what was behind the camera. So you're kind of seeing who or what is, like, seeing him.
So is it Harry Connick Jr., but he's a hipster and he lives in a junkyard?
The guy is an older junkyard type of worker. There are similarities.
I'm not getting, and not to be hung up, obviously,
on the story.
The visual game that you're describing is very cool. I don't totally get what, and again, I don't want to be married to this being a game where you do stuff, but is it essentially, like, when you say it's like a classic adventure game, is it like, oh, I need to find the hot dog, the stuff in the hole?
You need to find where you need to go next. That what you need to do is find where to go.
Right. That's probably the best.
And it's not as easy as it would sound. But the weird thing is you can skip all of it. Like, it's one of those games where there's more to find and there's more game and story to find. And it hints at it. And you can choose to go looking for that. Or you can kind of stick to the simple story. And why I say ghost story, part of that's why I'm being so dodgy about what actually happens, because I don't want to spoil it, because there's nothing worse than having, you know, a spook story kind of ruined for you. But a lot of it is, like, there's a mysterious woman and her friend and the history of this town and what happened to them and what happened to their family. And as you are just trying to find a way out, you are kind of learning the pieces of this story.
It is $25 for several acts, I guess 5 acts.
Yeah.
And you, for right now, you can get the first act for $7. It's at KentuckyRouteZero.com. It's made by Cardboard Computer.
It's the name of the length of a long movie, so you can play it with someone and you can play it in one sitting.
I thought the first act's that long.
Should I be watching Les Mis while playing the game?
I would have 2 hours. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I think that's a long movie. I think that's a great movie.
I thought we were kind of bearish on adventure games that didn't have, like, dank headshots. I hate to keep using that word, but...
Do you know what, Griffin? That's a great point. Because I was, despite loving the story of Walking Dead, I kind of was a...
Your exact words were, hey, Telltale, where's the dank headshots?
Right.
I don't know if it was it dank or was it swank?
You said, where's Hillary Swank in this game? She has a gun and she plays Clementine's mom. And she comes back and she says, I'm here to save you. And then you control, like, a first-person shooting segment where you just shoot every zombie.
You shoot her headshot, the one that she gives at auditions.
That's right.
Right, right.
But that's precisely what I'm talking about. No, but, like, I don't know, guys. I hate for us to be, like, this is not my opinion. I
don't even know what you're saying.
I want to take back my opinion from the besties best of the year, because this was a game where I have a whole new respect for Walking Dead and just this idea of games that have very, very minimal game to them. And it is just using the interactive medium to present the story.
Is that what you're addressing, Griffin? I just want to clarify what Griffin's sort of getting at. This game doesn't have much quote-unquote game in it?
Sorry, let me clarify. I think that position is dumb.
Yeah, he's saying what I said. I'm a dummy.
Oh, okay.
He's maybe happy.
Have you seen Looper? What I'm doing now is I'm throwing us into that time travel furnace from Looper so we can go back to mid-December, and I can show you guys how dumb the three of you are.
Let me actually say, though, that it does – Kentucky Route Zero does – the difference for me in between Kentucky Route Zero, and this is, again, after only playing the first act, it is – it never, ever does anything it's not good at, great at. It never has you – it never breaks its own spell by forcing gameplay onto you, which I feel like – Walking Dead did.
Yeah, with first-person shooter horribleness.
Right.
Yeah.
It never takes you out of the story. It never takes you out of the world by forcing you to do something that isn't native to the design.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I don't want to be a stickler. I hate to be that guy. But Griffin, you don't think that the furnace in Lufar is how they travel through time. That's how they burn the dead bodies. That's what a furnace does.
What? No, I meant like that's I meant like the,
no, time. there's a the time travel machine apparatus. Looks like it looks like a furnace.
Yeah, thank you, Russ. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I know you don't travel through time when you burn to death.
I'm just glad I was worried that you got go to that heaven. All mixed up.
I knew what you're talking about.
It looks
about,
more like a diving bell to be honest, but that's fine. Yeah.
I knew what you were talking about, but to be fair to Chris, I'm not trying to dismantle this podcast from the inside out. So maybe.
I'm not trying to, you know, but you can't, how can you fix something until you take it apart to put it back together again? That was Edison that said that.
Was
that?
And then he killed an elephant.
Edison's a fraud. sorry, guys. Sorry, there's the heat.
He was actually inside of the elephant, and he said that, and then he climbed his way out.
That's very brave of the three of you to pick on Edison. That's very brave of the I'm very proud of all of you. Such big men.
Edison can't stand up for himself.
Yeah, he's old.
Unless he's with us now. Edison, are you here on this call?
Hello?
This is me channeled. Edison?
Hello?
Hello, Edison?
Hello, Justin?
Hi, are you speaking to us from the Black Mariah?
This is Edison, yes? How are you? Do you have any lights on? You can thank me for that.
Hold on, I'm switching to wax cylinder.
Oh my god.
Hello, Edison, it's me, Justin McElroy.
Yes, I know you very well.
How do you...
Is Edison like fucking Santa Claus?
Yes. What, yeah. Did you enjoy the light bulbs I left on December 24th, Edison Day?
Why did you leave them on the ground of my bedroom is the only problem I had. It was very Home Alone of you.
Oh, I didn't know that you would wake up and slip on them in a comical way.
Yeah, I think you did. I think you maybe were just being a dick.
Well, maybe I put cameras in your room because I enjoy watching little boys slip on my greatest invention.
Wait.
hold on.
You take pictures of little boys while they sleep?
No, why they slip on his greatest? Why they slip on his?
Well, but before that happened, you were sleeping.
Oh no, no, no! Don't twist old Papa Edison's words.
Why did you kill that elephant, Papa Edison?
It's breaking up. The hole in time is breaking up.
Thanks, Papa Edison.
Thanks, Papa.
It's a good thing you survived that furnace.
Wow, that was strange.
We made it 15 and a half minutes into the new year before one of us did a dumb goddamn voice.
Hey, that was a pretty good voice, I thought.
That
for
was
Edison.
A good. That was great. And also, it wasn't Russ doing it, which I was surprised. That's the
we're
shocker.
We're bucking trends
that's
right
the series
now.
Series premiere shocker.
What has happened to you guys this week? Anything interesting?
I went to Montreal. Have you ever been there?
Okay, that's your pitch. Do we want to explain how halftime is going to work?
How halftime is going to work now. We didn't want to get rid of competition completely. So each of us will be giving a synopsis of our halftime anecdote, a TLDNR, if you will. And then we will decide on which anecdote we would like to hear. So, Chris, what happened to you this week?
I got farted on by an old guy.
You changed your story, obviously, to make it sexier.
Listen, he didn't have the foresight. You got farted on by an old guy, mm-hmm. Griffin.
I don't know. I started really churning my legs on an exercise machine, just trying to get my legs good.
Okay, that's all you get. Justin?
It's really bad.
No, stop talking.
I watched Leah Thompson's career disintegrate before my eyes.
Okay.
As I played Mr. Case Files, Shadow Lake.
That's pretty good. I met the mayor of New York City, Mike Bloomberg.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
And I think it's Mark. What do you guys want to hear?
I want to hear Justin's.
Okay. Can I go back in time?
No.
I thought of a way better one.
Okay, Griff.
I made a protest game in Unity. I made a game protesting the American policies.
I really want to hear that.
Yeah, I think I want to hear that.
I mean, the very first prototype they teach you to make when you're learning Unity. And let me tell you guys about it, because you're still on the outside of this industry, sort of looking in, you know, and then writing about what you see through those frosty window panes.
Mm-hmm.
On the inside, the first game that they make you make is a protest game
Really?
Well, no. They make a prototype where you shoot balls at a big stack of bricks, a big wall of bricks. But if you're clever and you paid attention to the part of the book where they taught you how to make things different colors, you can make that wall of bricks look like the American flag.
Oh, my God. Heresy.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's not. First of all, ain't no log in it, you know. But second of all, somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to stand up and take a stand for...
I thought in Unity you just make, like, a cube, and that's, like, the first game that you make. It's like you're walking around a cube.
You make cube. You guys remember that YouTube video?
No.
Yeah, I remember a cube. We almost... We almost took Polyverse from Cube for the name of our site.
Oh, that would have been good. That would have been a good
from
site.
The movie Cube?
No, from the hit YouTube video Cube.
Okay. Well, I officially regret picking Griffin.
That's because you haven't played my protest game. You would play it and be like, "I get it. I get what he's. I get what he was saying. Like some of these.
So are you saying
policies.
Is it wrong for me to ask what you're saying? The impression that I'm getting is that you're saying bricks or balls should be thrown at a stack of bricks in the shape and color of the American flag.
You don't have a gift for metaphor, do you?
You really don't understand what I'm saying.
Oh, it wasn't like literal.
Have you ever listened to the music of Woody Guthrie?
Yeah.
Then
he did Annie Hall, right?
That is the codec. Goon. That is the codex that you have to use to solve this Da Vinci Code-esque
metaphor. Okay, so I need to be really stoned first, and then what? Mm-hmm.
And then you throw balls at a stack of bricks that looks like the American flag.
And then
when you do it, you'd be like, you know what? I really have changed my position on unmanned drone strikes. You know, I really do have stronger and different opinions on the Patriot Act. I think I'm going to make a lot of headway on the App Store because they have shown like a huge tolerance for games that take a political position.
Why didn't
if you made a game right now called Don't Take My Gonzo Obama, I bet it would rocket to number one.
Did you say Don't Take My Gonzo Obama?
Don't take the character Gonzo from the second Muppets film, Obama. Please leave him in there. Don't tie him up in court.
Why does he love chicken so much?
Sorry?
Gonzo.
You meant Gonzo.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Oh, no.
Russ.
Oh, God. I'm going to make Gonzo. I'm going to make a Russ Frustic protest game on Unity. That's going to be my second
project. I said chickens, too. Like, the animal.
It's going to be a tower of bricks that are shaped like Russ Frustic, and you knock it down for the things that he says without realizing he said.
I think he's doing a fine job of that by himself. I don't think you need to step in there and help him dismantle the Russ Frustic, the Russ Frustic image, if you will.
It's a brand.
The Russ Frustic brand, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, look for it. It's coming out. It's on Steam Greenlight. So all the likes you can give me on there, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. How many achievements can I earn?
It's really just one, but the achievement is patriotism. Okay. And you don't get any points for it. It's just inside your heart. An eagle will come to your house and land on your shoulder when you get it. So
I want to hear from Russ about what the best thing he played this week was.
What are we saying now? The best Dark game Souls. That I played this week?
Best thing I played this week.
You don't need to give me a hint. I know what I was going to say.
Dark Souls. Well,
you also don't need to clarify that when you play something, it's a game.
Okay, the best video game device piece of software that I played, but not like played like an instrument, played like a game with a controller.
I'm confused, like a sport, like a baseball sport?
No. So you know how they have sports where you like swing the bat around? Mm-hmm. Well, imagine the bat isn't there. You're just holding a controller that controls the bat.
Sort of like International Players Anthem, like player, like playing.
It's also very similar to playing a harp.
Okay.
Anyway, the best game that I played this week is Dark Souls, which came out about a year and a half ago.
I guess this would be a good point in the show to mention that we're not because if we say we're not talking about new games anymore,
I feel like
50% of the people listening are like, oh, right. Well, bye.
More often.
Well, here, let me put about this. Well, to that one guy that just left, let me say this. This is our show, we'll talk about whatever we damn well please. How's that grab you?
Yeah.
I
would say the majority of the games that we're going to be talking about are new games, but in this case, I had never played Dark Souls before, and remedied that fact over the last 2 weeks, and it was a mostly entertaining experience.
Tell me about, like, the Did you finish it?
I did.
Did you solve it?
Yes.
Tell me about like the first few hours. Like, what was your initial reaction?
Yeah. So
I'm sure you've heard like everything about
it. Yeah. So not to give a plug, but there's actual video evidence of the first few hours of me playing this game. If you search "today I played Dark Souls" on YouTube or Polygon, you'll probably see the video. But my first few hours were harrowing, to say the least. I'd been warned multiple times that the game is very hard, but I sort of wanted to do something new and didn't ask for any pointers before I started playing. And it was sort of a disaster. I ended up dying many, 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 many times on like the first few enemies in the game because I guess I was going the wrong way.
You definitely were going the wrong way.
Yeah, well, yeah. So then I called
Mike. What were you trying to do? Oh, you were trying to go.
I was trying to go after through the skeletons.
Because in this game, you are told you can go up and down, when in fact you can only go up.
So you get past
or
the
down
tutorial.
Or sideways.
The tutorial took me like a half hour to beat. And you get past the tutorial, and essentially this AI guy is like, "Hello, welcome to our land. You must ring bells that are upwards and downwards." And I'm like, okay, cool, I'll go downwards. So I go downwards, and I get killed by skeletons about 30 times.
That's not even the right downwards.
I mean, right. You're completely right. But it is going downhill, so I figured, well, there you go.
You are southbound.
I think that's a lot about the game, where they explain very little, and people sort of champion that. And that's fine. I'm down with, like, not giving too much player direction. I don't need a waypoint showing me where my next objective is. What I don't dig on is having major gameplay elements like humanity never fucking explained in the game.
Not
and this
all.
Is like you're seeing a giant fucking number next to your health that indicates humanity, but you have no idea.
They actually, as soon as you get like past the tutorial, like a prompt shows up and it's only like 5 or 6 words. And it's like, use humanity for kindling. And it's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about because I recognize those words.
Right. You're only able to identify the articles in that sentence. Right. And everything else is like,
I understand what humanity is because I have it in life. And kindling, I guess, is a weird way to say stuff you put in fire.
Yeah.
But you don't know that it doubles the amount of Estus flasks that you get because that's a crazy fucking thing to think about without having anybody tell you it.
Yeah. So it's annoying that they have mechanics like that. I don't know why there are ghosts running around. I beat the fucking game, and I still don't know how to enter someone else's world. Like, that's weird.
The PvP especially, I've beaten the game twice now, actually. And I have only done, like, the PvP once. I never actually was able to get in. The DLC has, like, a PvP arena that I wasn't even able to get into.
Yeah, I was able to summon a guy, but I couldn't figure out how to enter other people's worlds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bunch.
It's really difficult even to do that. Like, summoning a dude is, like, one of the most basic multiplayer components. And even then, like, you have to wait around for somebody to find your mark and, like, be the appropriate level.
No, there wasn't a mark. It was just I was running by a bonfire, and there was, like, a ghost, and I clicked on it, and it summoned, like, an AI guy. Not an AI guy. Sorry, it was an actual player. Summoned an actual player, and he helped me try to beat a boss.
Didn't, like, kill everybody around you and then throw you off of a bridge?
No, he was surprisingly helpful.
Nice.
I know Chris Plant had a more negative experience with summoning people.
Yeah, it was bad.
He got invaded and then kicked off of the ledge or something.
No, the first time somebody came on, they just stood next to me, like, for minutes. And I stood there, like, waiting, like, I'm going to cut you if you
did you wave?
Closer. And then I did. After he didn't do anything, I was, like, signaled, and then he signaled back. And then he, like, kind of went forward, like, he was guiding the way, right? And I was like, oh, he's going to help me, cool. And he took me to a store, a guy or whatever. And I like, clicked on the store, and while I was in the store, he just cut me down.
Yeah, that sounds
right. And then he sent me an Xbox Live message that said, hey, welcome to Dark Souls.
Yeah. So
that's like the pilot episode of the OC. That's exactly what you just described. Welcome to Dark Souls, bitch. I'm going to go back with my water polo buds.
I'm a little sick of the analogies between the OC and Dark Souls, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a little played out.
So after all that sort of complaining that I just did over the last 5 or 10 minutes, you might think, well, why is this the best game that he played over the last 2 weeks? it actually, it once you get past the obtuse craziness of Dark Souls, it's actually a really good game to be found. In like, the combat feels really like rewarding, and like the character, like the way you customize weapons is really cool, and I think the way they built the world is awesome. Like, I can't think
it. I said the first time I played it, it is the best like Castlevania game.
Oh yeah, it feels like a 3D Symphony of the Night. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the set pieces are all very dramatic and unique. Like, going through the second time and playing it, I remembered every single place I went to. It's like, okay, now we're going into the Dark Root Basin. I remember this place perfectly.
And I especially like the fact that they don't cheat by using, like, portals. You, like, literally everything connects to one another in, like, a reasonable way. Like, oh, this elevator goes directly down to where I started, even though it took me 45 minutes to get there.
There's one or two exceptions to that rule. But, like, yeah, that is cool, especially when you, like, think like, oh, Jesus, I can't believe I have to run all the way from point A to point B, and then you discover, like, a secret entrance that saves you. Like, saving time is, like, the ultimate commodity in Dark Souls. Like, when you find a new bonfire, it's, like, the best thing ever because you've been working towards it for, you know, hours to try and make it to that checkpoint.
Yeah, I think it's pretty excellent. And I think the only way you can really play it is either you have someone that played a ton of it and you can like call them and ask for help, or you just spend like hours going through the maniac Dark Souls wikis that like explain all the gameplay mechanics to you, because the game does not throw you any sort of bone whatsoever.
Except for the monsters that throw their jagged bones at you.
Yeah, or the homeward bone.
Yes. That is a thing.
I do want to mention one more thing, though. Blight Town is the worst level in a video game ever made. Ever.
Definitely. Definitely. How'd that frame rate treat you?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Blight Town's where you can get that really bad poison. You have platforming, right?
Like, horrible platforming.
Horrible platforming, wasps following you. The entire... Oh, my God.
And the frame rate...
All of the ground is covered in a substance that kills you.
Yeah.
That's the whole floor of Blight
also,
Town.
If you don't look directly at your feet and you look into the distance at all, the frame rate drops to about 6.
Yeah.
Around 6 or 5.
Yeah. I actually didn't know that trick about looking down at your feet, so I just sort of trudged on through that horror. I really hope that in the next game they realize, like, oh, we are terrible at platforming. Let's never do that again.
Do you know who I feel bad for, though?
Who?
The people that had to review Dark Souls.
Yeah, so I was talking to Phil Kohler about it, because he, I think, did the review for Game Informer or whatever. He reviewed it with no guidance whatsoever, and, like, first of all, went through the catacombs way earlier than anyone was supposed to. Like, I have no idea how he finished that game.
Yeah, I imagine that there was, like, a secret, like, a midnight society of game reviewers that just, like, got together every night. Just like, man, help me out. What do I do with that Hydra?
I guess if you play Demon Souls, that might help, but...
I'm actually stoked about the Dark Souls 2 turning into, like, a weird... Like, every day for the first couple weeks after that's out is going to be recess in the mid-1980s. Just, like, a bunch of, like, whispered myth and you know, riddles and whatnot. I will put I will cut out a poster and tape it to my wall.
I mean, it does have, like, so many games nowadays come at you with, like, it's got old school sensibilities. Or they probably don't say sensibilities, because that's not a good marketing word. But they say, like, this game is old school. Look at the pixel art. But, like, I feel like games like Dark Souls really do capture that. We're not going to tell you what to... The constant sense of there is something bigger going on just below the surface that I cannot see, but man, when I see it, man, it's going to be sweet. It's going to be so, so nice.
Yeah, they did a really good job. I just get annoyed with the people that, like, any complaint that's leveled against this game. Like, people were... When I complained about it on Twitter, people were yelling at me for complaining about Blight Town. Or they were saying, well, that's... You know, once you've been through Blight Town, that's the training you need to get through the rest of the game.
Right.
Fuck you. that is just bad game design. But overall, I really, really dug it. And
but isn't there something to be said about, like, years from now, when somebody's like, what's the most unpleasant thing that's ever been in a game for you? Like, you are going to remember these sense memories of, like, Blighttown is, for people who haven't played, a vertically stacked shanty of, like, thin, rickety. Sometimes the walkways, like, even move out from underneath your feet and you fall to your death. And, like, if you don't find the ladders that you need to climb down from level to level, and there's, like, 25 levels that you have to climb down through. But eventually you die so many times that you start looking for ways to throw yourself down, like, the cliffside and still, like, land on something and live. And so you'll try that for, like, an hour. Like, what platform 100 feet below me can I fall to and still have, like, a little bit of life left? And then, like, how can I fall down this city and still be alive? But, like, ultimately that doesn't work either. Like, it's the worst.
It's terrible.
It's terrible, but, like, I don't know. Like, it's so memorable. It's so memorably terrible. I think that it almost circles back around, like Looper.
Yeah, I'm glad that
we're going down that road.
It is kind of like Looper.
It's just bad.
There are some parts that are just, and that's what makes it so irritating, is that I think they use the difficulty as a cop-out a lot of times for just not refining something.
I just don't get it.
Right now, Justin, that you caved at Anne Orlando and you couldn't get over.
Oh, yeah, you stopped there.
You stopped at Anne Orlando.
No, yeah, I mean, yeah, I got it.
At least two people on this podcast are in the Big Boy Clean Plate Club because we finished our dinner. We took all of our medicine.
I tried to go back. I actually tried to go back. Talking to Frustick, one made me want to go back. And when I started, I was in the depths. And this is because this is the second playthrough.
Wait, what? Oh, you beat it already?
No.
What do you mean it's the second playthrough?
So I got to Anne Orlando with my pyromancer,
which is about halfway. It's about the halfway point through the game, but it's also it features the most, probably the most difficult boss battle in the game. If not,
that's where I was like, you know what, I'm not going to anymore. And I got to that point, and then I restarted with a sorcerer, and I got apparently like level 50, and then I got to the depths, and like I turned the game back on, and it was almost like a great metaphor for Dark Souls itself, because I turned it on, I was in a sewer. I had no idea which direction to go, and as soon as I stepped out of the door, a slime fell off the ceiling onto my head and killed me. Like, well, I think I am good with my progress in Dark Souls. I think I'm okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you didn't.
I know.
I feel like it's going to haunt you basically your whole life, like an albatross hanging around your neck that you just couldn't muster.
No doubt it does. I think that's probably going to happen.
It's really like, and the Kaiser Soze ending. Let me tell you, like think that bonfire was behind that whole thing.
Does anybody want to say anything else about video games they played this week?
I'm going to upload my Patriot game onto some pirate sites. I'm trying to keep it like as indie as possible.
Do you have Mac support, Griffin?
I do not have Mac support.
What about Linux?
It's only on Linux. And,
okay.
But you have to run the Linux on a TI-83. So
okay. I'll play Street Fighter 2 in that.
It's what you might call a limited release.
Yep.
Look for us on Kickstarter, though.
Awesome.
I only need 750 Gs to make this dream come true.
The other thing about this is that Griffin is getting the Indiana Jones license. That's the other big
expense. Yeah, you should know.
Expense.
I'm shooting for that. I hear they got it to give, though. So, we'll see.
That's going to do it for us this week on the besties.
Wait.
Don't we have to talk about what we're going to do next week?
I feel like we've made some sweeping changes that we just haven't explained.
Yeah, I think you should explain that, and then we should do it really quick.
I'm tired of talking.
Okay, do you want me to talk about it?
Yeah,
do it.
So at the end of each besties now, we talk about, hey, maybe we'll talk about it next week. And in case you weren't aware, at least two, but ideally all of us, will have actually played the games we're talking about each week. You know, so we have discussion and not just monologues.
Let's also address the fact that we're basically giving up the King of the Hill weekly game, best game model. Since at the end of the year, so many of the games that we talked about were either completely not acknowledged by that model or had like actively been shot down by that model and came back. Like it's kind of, I don't know, guys, it's kind of arbitrary.
The good news is these are the best games we've played.
These are the best. We're not going to talk about like shitty games unless they're so shitty. So like, I think less King of the Hill, more Oprah's Book Club.
I love it.
So anyway, at the end of each episode, we're going to talk about, hey, here's something I played. I think the rest of you should play it, and maybe we can talk about it next week.
Has anyone played DMC?
Yeah, I'll play that before.
Plant is going to be playing DMC.
I'll play DMC.
You know what you guys should play if you haven't yet? And it's a little bit old, but it just came out on Mac. A little game called Legend of Grimrock.
That's been on Mac for a while.
Oh.
It was in a bundle from like last fall.
I bought it in the Humble Bundle, and I thought that's when the first time it came out on Mac was.
Yeah, but that was like fall.
No, that was 3 weeks ago. It was Humble Bundle 7. Just happened.
So I'm going to grab Cart Life.
Oh, yeah.
Plant told me that that's really good. So I'm going to grab that, so maybe we can talk about that next week.
Oh, next week it also... Might and Magic Clash of Heroes comes out on iOS.
Oh, that I'm excited for. I'll play that.
I'm so excited. I played that game for like 5 minutes on DS.
I never really played it on DS, so I'm looking forward to
it. That's probably going to be mine, because I don't have like a lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you guys like actively for a handout, but like let me just say, I don't have a lot of money.
Okay.
So do with that information what you want, what you will.
Great, and that's going to do it for us here on the Besties. Make sure to keep listening every week if you want, and subscribe on iTunes and tell your friends. And polygon.com is our website where we're doing all the games.
We would love, we would all love your feedback too on this format that we have now, as long as your feedback doesn't involve us going back to the old shitty format that we had. Thank you
so
much.
It doesn't work.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that's going to do it for us this week on the Besties. Make sure to join again next Friday on the Besties. Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties!